ॐ भद्रं कर्णे विष्णुयामते वाः ॐ भद्रं कर्णे विष्णुयामते वाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागुंसस्तनूभिः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागुंसस्तनूभिः यशेम देवहितं यदायुः यशेम देवहितं यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृत्तश्रवाः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृत्तश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्षो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्षो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्धदातु स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्धदातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः The second section, verse 8. You don't need another sentence. I like it.
I like it?
Okay. Avidyayam antare vartamanah. अविद्यायामन्तरे वर्तमानाः स्वयन्धीरपण्डितं मन्यमानाः स्वयन्धीरपण्डितं मन्यमानाः चङ्गन्यमानाः पर्यन्ति मूढा चङ्गन्यमानाः पर्यन्ति मूढा अन्धेनैव नीयमाना यथान्ताः अन्धेनैव नीयमाना यथान्ताः अविद्यायाम् अन्तरे वर्तमानाः स्वयं धीराः पण्डितं मन्यमानाः चङ्घन्यमानाः पर्यन्ति मूढाः अन्धेनैव नियमानाः यथा अन्धाः ओके Just to bring some of you up to where we are. When Shanta When Shanika asked Angirasa, you know, Shanika was a great householder. He knew the whole Vedas, right? And he practiced all of the rituals, and had been intent, I'm sure, on gaining Swarga Loka, or gaining, you know, Punya, so that he could get better lokas and get a better birth. So he had been committed as a great Mahashala to the first part of the Vedas, and had been probably a Vedajna, somebody who was really, really well versed in the Vedas. At some point in his life, he became a Mumukshu, and he went to Angirasa for teaching, and he asked Angirasa, "Please teach me that which, knowing which, everything is as well known." So other students have asked the same question. Please teach me that knowing which everything is as well known. And so his teacher, Angirasa, decided to teach him in a particular way based upon who Shanika was. And he taught him by saying initially, there are two knowledges. There's what we call the aparavidya, and paravidya. Aparavidya has to do with everything that you learn in samsara, in worldly existence, in all of the Vedas, the Rig Veda, Yajur Samar Veda, the Atharva Veda, all of the Vedas are included in that. All rituals are included in that. All of the Vedangas, all of the different things that you've learned to support the Vedas are included in that. In fact, even your memorization of the Upanishads are included in that. That's the lower vidya. Vidya means knowledge. That's the lower, what we call the lower knowledge. The paravidya, the higher knowledge, is the actual recognition, aham brahmasmi, that myself is limitless, that I am the whole. It is that cognition. It's not just being able to chant the Vedas. That's not it. Because even the house, even the Shanaka would have learned how to chant and learned all of the first part of the Vedas and the last part of the Vedas. He would have learned all of the Upanishads. He would have been chanting that, and probably from chanting the Upanishads, he could go to his teacher and say, what is this that the Upanishads teach? Knowing which by this, what is this knowing which everything is well as well known? What is this Mahavakya when I say, aham brahmasmi, I am limitless awareness? What is that? And so all of this knowledge would be there in as an indirect knowledge, where all of the rituals would be there to learn and to perform in order to gain certain results. Knowledge itself is not there. So what Angirasa did was say, first, put through many verses saying this is the aparavidya, going through the Rig Veda, the Yajur Veda, teaching all of the, what is the sphere of aparavidya? And then he did a few verses to tell exactly what the paravidya was. So having just told the aparavidya, this lower knowledge, he gave some verses, beautiful verses, revealing the nature of the self, of your being as being limitless, the limitless whole, the conscious being that you are, being free from time, being free from change, being the one from whom the entire universe springs forth, the one who is the very self of the entire universe. He gave several verses to tell what the paravidya was, what the higher knowledge is. That being completed, he now goes back to talk about the fruits, the results of the aparavidya. And that's what we've been doing up to this point now. For the last three or four verses, we've been looking at what are the results of the aparavidya. Because Shanaka, being a great householder, he would know very well that all of the rituals that he had been doing, right, would lead to Swargaloka. Or if he were doing, as we'll see later, the rituals that he'd do, that would be done with Upasana, those rituals would lead maybe to Brahmaloka. And so initially, as Angirasa was relating this to Shanaka, he was relating it in the most positive form. The most positive form, if you were to do these rituals, if you throw the ghee in the fire in the proper way, if you do the ritual exactly properly, then going through the traveling through the rays of the sun, you'll be taken to one of the highest lokas. What for you would be Swargaloka. And all of the angels will be saying, come, come. Come, come. You deserve this. You deserve this wonderful heaven. You deserve this wonderful heaven world. This is the result of all of your work, of all of your swarga. So, of all of your punya, of all of the karmas that you've done. This swargaloka, this heavenly world, so come, come, enjoy the fruits of your karma. So the first several verses here are just extolling the wonders of these fruits of karma, of the fruits of the ritual that'll take you to heaven. But then, having reminded Shanaka of all of these rewards, of the rewards of karma, he then addresses the limitations of those rewards, saying, yes, those rewards, going to heaven, where all of your desires are fulfilled, where you're living a life of fullness and pleasure, and as you want something, you receive that, you have a healthy body, all of these wonderful things, the most that you could want for, all of those things are taking place. However, all of these things that are taking place are only temporary. And that's where we left off saying, all of these yajnas, all of these karmas that you're performing, they're really just weak rafts. They're weak rafts. You know, if you have a raft, you know, in a raft, they're kind of the boards are kind of strung together, you know, to make a float. Well, the float is maybe okay for crossing a little river. But that little float of a raft, you know, that's strung together, you know, with twine, is not going to be the proper vehicle to take you across this ocean of samsara. And so, in fact, this little raft will take you so far, and then, unfortunately, the raft, by its very nature, will fall apart. And it's the same with the karmas that you do. No matter how exalted the karmas may be, how complex the ritual, how properly the ritual is done, every part of the ritual itself is a time-bound karma. And everyone who's participating in the ritual is participating with a time-bound action. And so these time-bound actions may result in the experience of heaven, but the experience of heaven is going to be the result of this time-bound action. The time-bound action can only produce a time-bound result. So something that takes place in time, an action that takes place in time, can only produce a result that takes place in time. And so if the result takes place in time, you will have the sukha. You can have tremendous sukha, tremendous joy, tremendous pleasure, a tremendous moment that is free from pain. A tremendous moment that is full of joy. And that tremendous moment is the result of the tremendous karma that you've done. The tremendous karma, the good karma, produces a good result. But the problem is that that good result is temporary. And so they say, he says, these yajnas, which have these yajnas, these rituals, that have so many parts, these yajnas, the people who are deluded, those deluded people rejoice in these rituals, thinking that they're going to lead to Shreyas. However, because the ritual is time-bound, what happens is the person again comes back to old age and death. birth and death. So even though deluded, they think that the person is going to get moksha, means Shreyas, or absolute good, or you think this is the absolute good that we can get. In fact, what you're getting is a temporary good, which means that then you'll come back again to birth and old age or death. So thinking that you're going to achieve the highest, what you do is you achieve a high moment. And from that high moment, you return. And so now, the deconstruction of the first part of the Vedas is taking place. The deconstruction in this sense, no one's saying that the first part of the Vedas doesn't give you, what we say, first part of the Vedas gives you the most that you can get out of samsara. It gives you the most you can get out of transmigratory existence. But it can't take you out of transmigratory existence. And so therefore, it can give you experiences that are positive by your following the Dharma, by your performing proper duties, proper rituals. You'll gain experiences that are positive, but the positive experiences that you gain are bound by time. And there is a hierarchy of positive experiences. That's accepted. There's a hierarchy of positive experiences all the way up to Brahmaloka. You know, where you can last, you can live as long as the creation is projected, or that cycle. You get to live out that cycle. That's the highest you can get, as we'll see later. But no matter how high is the high, that high is time bound. You know? And that time boundness can last for a long time. But it's not a long time when you're at the end of it. Because we talked about last week, right? You know, you can get a result of ananda, of joy, that lasts, you know, for 1,000 years. Imagine that. You get to go to Swargaloka, and you really did a lot of karmas, and you have a big stash. And that big stash will last you for 1,000 years of sukha. And when you start your vacation, you've got 1,000 years ahead of you. But when you're at the end of the vacation, that 1,000 years is gone. Okay? And now it's not 1,000-year vacation. You've got 1 day left. You know, you've got half a day left. You've got an hour left. You've got 5 minutes left. It's over. And you're back into that transmigration. And so actually what's being said here is, yes, there is this hierarchy of sukha. Yes, you can live a life within samsara in order to have as much pleasure, to maintain and to achieve as much pleasure as you possibly can. But it's continual management, because every action that you do is time-bound. And so you, these karmas will give you a swarga, they'll give you an experience of heaven, but from that experience of heaven, you will come back. So here, as I say, the deconstruction has started. And so he says now in this verse 8, avidyayam antare vartamanaha. In the avidya, he's in this ignorance, antare, in the middle of ignorance, avidyayam, in the middle of this ignorance, vartamanaha, existing. So remaining in the middle of this ignorance, svayam dhiraha panditam manyamanaha. These people, considering themselves to be very wise, svayam dhiraha manyamanaha, taking themselves to be, dhiraha, very wise, and to have panditam, means to have wisdom, to really know, you know, to really know what it's about. We are wise. We have wisdom. We know what is to be known. So having been Veda Gyanas, people who have studied the Vedas, who have learned all of the rituals, you know, they consider themselves to know what the highest end is, the highest end to be achieved is. So here, these people, existing within the realm of ignorance, avidyayam antare vartamanaha, existing in the realm of ignorance, these people, manyamanaha, taking themselves to be dhirahas, people who are wise, who are panditam, means they know what is, they believe. We know what is, we know what is to be known. They have panditam. Then what? Those people, janganyamanaha pariyanti mudaha. Those people who are mudaha, they're deluded. Mudaha means deluded ones. Sometimes they're called fools, but mudaha is better. It means they're deluded about this. They believe that they know, right? That's the delusion. You believe that you know something. You believe that this is how it is. And it's not how it is. This is what you believe, though. If you believe something to be this way and it's not that way, then in reference to this thing, you're deluded. That's how we use the word, right? You might not be deluded in something else, but in reference to this, you're mudaha. You are deluded. Being deluded, and being deluded thinking that you are very wise, that you have wisdom and you know what is to be known. That's the panditam. You're very wise. You know what is to be known. That being deluded like this, Janganyamanaha. These people suffer terribly. Suffering terribly, padiyanti, they wander all around. They wander from place to place, suffering terribly. How? Andenaiva niyamanaha yata andaha. Yata, just as andaha, blind people, andaha, blind people, niyamanaha, who are being led, andena, by a blind person alone. That blind person, right? There's a group of blind people. We're all blind. Really, the blindness means we don't know anything. That's the blind thing. We're all totally ignorant. We're blind. And we are, our leader, right, who is leading us, is also blind. But because we're blind, this is a great problem. Because we are blind, we can't tell that the leader is blind, right? And so the blind leading the blind, it's a great cliche, the blind is leading the blind. Because the blind are blind, they don't know that the leader is the blind. And the leader, unfortunately, also doesn't know that he or she is blind. How does benefit know? And then the problem comes. The leader believes, has great conviction, right? The leader has great conviction that they know, you know, that this is the way to fulfillment. This is the way to happiness. I know what the way is. I know what it is. I know what needs to be done. Conviction. And the conviction is there. If a person has conviction, even if they're insane, if they have that strong conviction, right, they get some followers. Because the conviction itself is addictive. There's somebody who seems to know what's going on. That person themselves believes that they know what is going on. And so that person, with their followers, right, leads the person, as in Shankara says in the Bhashya, will lead the followers, you know, into all kinds of ditches and brambles and holes in the earth. Like a blind person, you know, walking along, they can't see where all of the ditches and the brambles are. And so they end up falling into all of these ditches and all of these branches and scratching themselves and breaking their legs and whatnot and having a miserable time of it. Here, same problem. Because if you are seeking a limitless result by limited means, you will always be beating your head against the wall. The same samsara that you can't get out of here, you can't get out of on any level in the creation. What I mean by that is that just if you think of what makes a person a seeker, just in life, what makes you a seeker, what makes you a mumukshu, is that you recognize, you come to the recognition, eventually, that no matter what I do, you know, I can't get any type of lasting or permanent wholeness. I can't get to a state where I can say, all is well with me, period. I'm unable to accomplish that. And at some point, I realize that the reason I'm unable to accomplish that is not because of me. It's because of the nature of the creation. I realize that a karma or an action that I do will produce a limited result. I realize that my mind, my body, my sense organs are limited and changing. I realize that the creation and everything in the creation is bound by constant change. I get that. I realize it. This isn't a rocket science. It's a fact that the creation is continually changing. My mind is continually changing. My body is continually changing. Everything is born and dying. Because of this, there is no possibility of achieving any lasting condition. Because there is no lasting condition. Right? Since there is no lasting condition, because everything is changing, right? In the world of change, there's no lasting condition. How can I achieve a lasting happiness? So that I can say, ah, now, finally, everything is well with me. That's a fact. At some point, I recognize it. I recognize that. But until I recognize it, I am this jhanganyamanaha. I am continually hurting myself. I am continually being hurt. Because time after time after time, I fulfill a desire, I have a moment of happiness, things go my way for a moment, I have that little swargaloka, I have the little swargaloka, the little heavenly world here, and it invariably, without exception, comes to an end. That's the thing. Invariably, without exception. No matter what level of the creation is being experienced, invariably, without exception, that sukha, that joy, that pleasure comes to an end. If that's the case, then that's exactly what they mean by this jhanganyamanaha. As Shankara says, you know, jara, roga, etc. Old age, illness, death, these type of things, these dukkhas, these sorrows, keep coming. And they keep coming. You have a moment of happiness and it's going to be bordered by these sorrows. That's the reality of the situation. So now, these deluded people existing in this world of avidya, in this world of ignorance, considering themselves to be very, very wise and to be learned, they continue to wander around looking for this final solution, achieving the final solution which they think that they know. And doing that, thinking that they have that answer, they go wandering. But pariyanti means to go. Pari means to go all around trying to solve this, to try to solve this problem, and in the meantime, hurting themselves, just as blind people being led by the blind. There's no solution to be found. That's the problem, and that's the situation. That's the situation from a Vedic perspective of everyone in the creation. It doesn't matter if you have, nobody is free from that situation. Now there might be some leaders who think that they can take you to a state of freedom, right? Like take you to Swarga, or take you to some altered experience. There might be leaders. Those leaders are just like blind leading the blind. Right? As long as the ahankara is there, as long as that core ignorance is there, which takes myself, my being, to be a limited being existing in this creation. I'm a limited being. If this body, mind, sense, organs, I'm a limited being existing in this creation, then I need to become full, right? As long as I need to become, if that ahankara, that initial ignorance is there so that I need to become, then there's no solution. Because then, at the instant that's the case, I am part of that which is bound by continual change. And so no matter who the leader is and no matter who the follower is, we're stuck in this abyss of ignorance for which there is no solution at all. So like the blind leading the blind, we continually trip into the ditches and holes and caves and brambles, cutting ourselves and hurting ourselves, you know, with no really way out. It's a terrible. I mean, think about it. Think about the image. Yeah. Think if we're all blind and our leader's blind, you know, and trying to, you know, take us to safety. It's not going to happen. So here, let's fix the next verse. Keep scoring. Avidyayam bahudha vartamanah. Avidyayam bahudha vartamanah. Vayam kritkarthah itya vimanyati. Itya vimanyati balah. Vayam kritkarthah itya vimanyati balah. Yat karmino na pavediyanti ragat. Yat karmino na pravedanti ragat. Tena pirachina lokas chivante. Tena pirachina lokas chivante. Avidyayam bahudha vartamanaha vayam kritarthaha iti abhimanyanti balaha yat karminaha na pravidyanti ragat tena aturaha chinalokaha chivante. Avidyayam, in this avidya, bahudha vartamanaha. There are many ways of being in this world of ignorance. Right? There's many different forms that it can take. So avidyayam bahudha vartamanaha. Vayam kritkartaha iti abhimanyanti balaha. These balas, all these children. These children means these people who really aren't mature in their knowledge, they're ajnanis. These balas who are existing, they're existing in many different ways in this world of ignorance. But all of them, they are abhimanyanti. They're all taking them, considering themselves to be as vayam kritarthaha. We, vayam means we, kritarthaha, we are people who know what is to be done. The purushartha, right? Purushartha means that which is to be gained, the human purusharthas. That purushartha which is to be gained, that which is to be gained is done by us. We know what that is. We know what is to be gained. So that which is to be done has been done by us. We are kritarthaha. So vayam kritarthaha. If you're taking themselves, considering themselves to be that, these people exist in ignorance. Avidyayam, bahudha, variously, many different ways. Because it says, yet karminaha. Because of being in this manner, because of being bound by this ignorance, yet karminaha, these people who are bound by karma, who take themselves to be kartas, who take themselves to be doers, these karmas, not pravedyanti. They don't know. They don't know what. They don't know the atmajnana. They don't know the truth. Taking themselves to be karmis, right? They don't know the truth. Ragat. Because of their passion, because of their attachment for the results of their action, because of their attachment for karma pola, the results of their actions, for swarga loka, they're not available to know the truth. So these karmas, taking themselves to be doers, they don't know the truth. Because they're attached to the results of their action, they're attached to their punya, the karma pola, then what? Because of that, aturaha, suffering, these people suffering, kshina lokaha, chavante, these people, having exhausted the results of their karma, having exhausted their punya, kshina lokaha, the swarga loka, kshina, the results, the karma pola has been exhausted, they fall back down again. So these people, these karmis, person is a karmi, that's a person who takes themselves to be a karta, to be a doer, and they perform the rituals, and do all of the things in the first part of the Vedas in order to gain punya, so that they can go to they can gain heavenly worlds. So, being attached to these heavenly worlds, they take themselves to be a karta, they do all of the rituals, They get the karma pole, they get the positive results of their actions, and having gotten the positive results of their actions, they get to Swargaloka, the positive results of the actions are exhausted, and they fall back down. And this is, right, that's exactly what's so. Then they're caught again in the end of this chapter of samsara. So here, avidyayam bahudha vartamanaha. For all of the karmis, anybody who takes themselves to be a doer, they may act in the world as a doer in a variety of ways. But the core problem is the doership, right? The core problem is the karta, which means, again, as I said in the previous verse, the instant I take myself to be a doer, I become a limited being, different from you, different from God, somebody who has to achieve, right? Somebody who has to achieve something to become whole. And so the instant that kartatvam is there, that doership is there, I become a limited person different from you. As soon as I'm a limited person different from you, then whatever results I need to achieve to become full, right, become time-bound. Once they're time-bound, right, then I become one who's called kshinalokaha, one who's going to be returning, right? one for whom the worlds are going to be exhausted. The worlds means the punya, you know, the karmapala. Those worlds are going to be exhausted. Once they're exhausted, then I fall back down. These karmis, not knowing the tattva, not knowing the truth, because of their raga. Okay, again, all of this are actually talking, all of these verses, they're actually talking about good karmas. They're talking about gaining pleasures, things that they're talking about the limitations of good karmas. Right? Karma itself can be bad. You can think, you know, a bad karma, the result of a dharma or something like that. A bad karma is something that gives a negative result, something that nobody wants. The Upanishad is not talking about bad karma. It's talking about good karma. It's talking about going to heaven. It's talking about doing good deeds, doing meritorious deeds, so that you can enjoy sukha, so that you can enjoy pleasure. It's talking about the limitations of this pleasure. Okay, now, it's not going to talk about the limitations of pleasure or heaven or living a dharmic life to somebody who is still contained within the first part of the Vedas. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're not a mumukshu, say you're a samsari, and you're a dharmic samsari. You're contained within the first part of the Vedas. You do your daily rituals, you do your daily pujas. You know, you do the given charities, and you do the things that are to be done. You follow your duties. And for that, you gain punya. And for that, you gain a kind of a relative peacefulness. You get a relative peace. And when you die, you'll go to a heaven world where you experience where you have really positive experiences. They're not talking at all about a dharmi or somebody who's going to a hell world or somebody who's experiencing pain here because of bad things they're doing. They are actually talking about the results of good karmas, the best that you can do. And now what they're saying, this best that can be done through the karmas that you do or through the good actions that you do is limited. It's a weak raft. You know, it will not in the end give you what you seek. It will give you pleasure, but relative pleasure. It'll give you happiness, relative happiness. Everything that you get will come to an end. It's just like you will be accruing, you know, in money in the bank. You'll be getting a paycheck, you know. But that paycheck is going to be spent. And so then you have to accrue more money. You have to do more dharma. You have to do more rituals. so that you can get more money in the bank, which will then be spent. And because of that, even though this is the highest of the high, this is all good, you know, for the mumukshu, it isn't good. For the mumukshu, it's not good. It's very good. It's the best you can do for somebody who has this conviction, this kartrittvam, that we're all born with. I am a doer. I am this person here. What is the best way to live in this world? What is the best I can do? The first part of the Vedas is good for that. It is for that. This is the best you can do. You can go to Swarga and you can do all of these things and you can get better births. This is the best you can do. And if you follow all these rules, you will have a relative peace and happiness, and you can go to heaven. But the mumukshu is the one who looks at that and says, isn't there anything else? Isn't there anything else? Because there's no way for me to achieve anything that is lasting, where I can truly be free, where I can say, all right, all that is to be done is done by me. I'm free, I'm whole, I'm complete, and nobody can take that away. The mumukshu is the one who sees that even the highest, that the highest that the Vedas can give in terms of karma pala, the results of your actions, is still time-bound. Right? And so the Upanishad is not for the samsari, the karmi, who are still satisfied doing rituals and going to heaven. For 99.999% of the world, doing karmas, good karmas, and going to heaven is fine. That's what it's about. You know, and the different religions in the world, there are many different religions. This ignorance expresses in many different ways. That's that Bahuda. There are many different religions. There are many different preachers. There's many different, you know, there's many different heavens, many different ways to achieve happiness. All of them are time-bound. Even in the Vedic world, many different things you can do, many different lokas, worlds that you can go to. So a whole variety of paths that you can follow, a whole variety of things you can do. But as long as that kartrittvam is there, you're bound by time. And so all of the results of your actions being time-bound, there is no freedom. This Upanishad is meant for the mumukshu, who has realized that this first part of the Vedas is keeping me in a samsara, in a samsara that I can't get out of. I see no way out. Because none of the ingredients are all the ingredients are time-bound. There is no way out. And so now, how Angirakas is teaching to Shonaka, he is making Shonaka, verse by verse by verse, understand the limitations of everything he has done up to this time, of the whole Vedic world. He's making Shonaka a mumukshu. He's turning the mumukshutvam that took Shonaka to the teacher into what we call jignasa, the desire to know. He's making him into a mumukshu. He's just making the problem extremely clear, verse after verse after verse. And now there's a couple of more verses to go, you know, where he's going to even get rid of a few other karmas that he might still be thinking, well, what about this and what about that? Could do that. Maybe that would work. No. He's got a couple of more verses that he has to just say, no, that's not going to work either. And then after having really negated every single possibility that the first portion of the Vedas have to offer, right, he then will start teaching this paravidya. Right? And he does that. He's a famous verse coming up. It's Pariksha Lokan. Having examined all of these worlds, all of the results that these karmas could give you, having examined all of them, then you realize that a finite action cannot produce an infinite result. It's not possible. When you realize that, then you go to a guru. Then you go to a teacher. Until you realize that, then you stay in the first part of the Vedas. The first part of the Vedas is the best you can do in terms of getting a relative happiness. But once you see the problem, then you have to leave all that behind. Now it's not going to be a matter of doing. As doing, by its very nature, can only give a limited result. It can never give a limitless result. Doing, that means even doing a mental state, whether it's meditating or eating well, you know, or doing yoga. All of these things have a value, but they don't make you free. They give you a positive experience, a positive situation, but they're not going to give you free. They're not going to give you freedom. You're not going to get that through doing. And so this whole first part of the mudra is to make a person who's contained within the Vedic culture understand the limitations of the culture that has contained them to this time. Mm-hmm. And then to take them to the Vedanta, right, which is still part of the Vedic culture, but taking you to, okay, now it's time for you to be over here. Right? You've lived your whole life here. You've realized the problem. Okay, now it's time to be here. Now it's time for you to know this. But until you've recognized the problem, there's no one there to even want to know. So the Upanishad itself will make sure that you want to know. So you have, you know, a little inkling understanding, and that's what makes you more sure that you don't really have any solution. The Upanishad will make sure that you understand the limitations of the creation beyond any doubt, so that the solution is meaningful. If you don't realize the problem, really, if you don't realize the absolute nature of the problem, then you won't realize the absolute nature of the solution. Right? Because by what I mean by that, if you don't recognize the absolute nature of the problem, that no amount of actions can give you any type of lasting result, if you don't realize the implications of that, then somewhere in your mind you'll think, yeah, but I could just do that. Or I could just do that. No, the whole thing has to be wiped out completely. And then you need a solution. You need to have the solution. Until then, you still have a solution. Right? You still have a solution. I could do this, and if only I could get that, or, you know, juggle this around a little bit. No. So it's the Upanishad's job to gate the possibility, you know, of a solution that has to do with achieving something that's not yet achieved. If you achieve something that's not yet achieved, you're within time. If you're within time, the result is going to be limited by time. Okay. Let's stop there.